What's going on, successors? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success. I'm Jonathan Jones, and this is a Speak Your Success media production. I'm excited for today's guest, and this is going to be a conversation that's a little bit different than what you've seen in the past. So stay tuned, and you're going to enjoy yourself. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest for today. Erskine Hawkins III is a graduate of the University of North Texas with a degree in jazz piano. He got his start playing gospel music in church at age 13, and then he began to lead bands at the age of 14, and he hasn't looked back since. Hawkins is a musical director, he's a producer, and a professional keyboardist. Erskine has toured with Grammy Award-winning Babyface, Alicia Keys, Eminem, Rihanna, Eric Benet, Vivian Green, as well as Chrisette Michele and Zendaya. Hawkins is a husband and a father of two with a beautiful family that I might add, and now currently the director of music at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Welcome to the show, Erskine.
Thank you, man. Thank you guys for having me. Man, I'm sitting here listening to you read that. I'm like, God has really done something, man. Just hearing you read all that stuff. I mean, to me, I never really think back through some of the stuff that I've done, but that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah,
anyway,
man.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, man, we're glad to have you, man. So thanks for taking the time, and man, I'm interested now just to dive into your journey and you know, talk a little bit more about like your whole introduction to this music thing. So Erskine, can you describe for me a moment and a piece of music that intrigued your passion for the keyboard and then set you on your career path?
Let's see, man. So, my dad actually plays piano. He also goes to Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship too. So we all go to church together, but anyway, he plays piano as well. And, we used to, like growing up, I would hear him play and practice and whatever. He practiced the scales and he was actually very good. So that was kind of like music has always been in the house. And originally I was the drummer of the family. So my dad would play piano. I played drums. My younger brother, Matthew, he was like the guitar player in the family, and we grew up on an Air Force base. And so not my job, but when I first started playing music, I was like 12, I guess, playing the drums, maybe 11 or maybe 10. It was younger than that. But anyway, I used to practice all the time, and I would show up with my sticks at the church, and I would wait to see if the drummer was coming, because sometimes the drummer, you know, back then he just didn't show up, which was a normal thing. I'm like, oh, it's my turn. It's my shot. I'm going to get up here and play. And then I guess somebody talked to him one day after like a year or two of, you know, me jumping in and playing the drums. I guess I was that bad. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man. Well, no, you know, that's not what it is. But like, hey, man, you got to be here. Just tell the drummer he's got to be here. So I would still show up with my sticks wanting to play. But like, you know, he was like showing up all the time. So it was nothing for me to do. So I'm like, man. So the minister of music at our church, there was another keyboard that sat behind like the main piano where he sat. And he was like, why don't you sit down and like play this, like on this song, you play this one or two notes or whatever. And that's kind of how I started like playing piano was, hey, play these one or two notes, because somebody was already playing the drums, which is cool. That's how I got into playing. So it was in church, playing these one or two notes on a song. And I think that song was Ancient of Days. I don't know if you know that one, but... Mm. I think it's Ron Canole, old Ron Canole song.
Ron Canole.
That's,
wow.
Yeah, that's where my music journey started. Play these one or two notes.
Wow. Okay. So when did it begin to expand from gospel to, you know, now you playing in other genres, a little bit of jazz, a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of R&B?
So the minister of music at the church left because everyone was in the military. So he got orders. He left. And there wasn't a pianist or a keyboard player at the church. So I was like, I know this one song. Like I learned this one song. So we did that song every week for a while. I think it was like 13, 14 at the time. So let me see. It was really gospel music until I graduated high school. Sometime around like age 16, 17, I was like, I should try to learn some jazz as well. But like, I had no idea where to start. And jazz was a big genre. So... somebody had told me, you know, you should go. I think I was in the jazz band in high school too. So I was trying to venture out into something else because jazz and gospel are closely related. I went to a all region jazz band competition, man, and I got fifth place for piano, which to me, I was like, oh, this is great. And then I was looking at the roster of like, you know, who plays first, second, and third, and whatever. I got fifth place out of five people. So I was like, ooh, yikes. And I think I was a junior or senior or something at the time. And I was like, man, this isn't going to work, man. I got to get better. So I wound up going to college for music. Wanted to go to Berklee College of Music, but I decided to go to the University of North Texas. My mom was like, man, I can't have you go way out to Boston. Like, will you go? There's a really good music school here in Dallas. Will you go look or whatever? So we went to go see it. So yeah, started at North Texas in 2005, got my degree in jazz piano, and then moved to New York in like 2010 to see, you know, what is this, like, I want to do something with this degree now. Like, New York is the city for that. And then from there, I started playing with this this artist named Chrisette Michelle through somebody I met in the military. Well, I wasn't in the military, but he was in the military, and he was stationed at the base. Like, this was years before that. So when I was, you know, still at the church back then, he was now playing with Chrisette Michelle, and their keyboard player was going to be missing some shows or something. He was going back. He wanted to go to college now, or something like that. So they needed a keyboard player. I'm like, hey, can you fill in on some shows? And then that's kind of where my R&B kind of career kind of kicked off. But thankfully, Chrisette Michelle, she's a jazz head herself. Mm. So we kind of like vibed out on like the whole I do jazz, you do jazz kind of thing. But she's an R&B artist. And then, then from there, it just kind of became, you know, I think it was in college, I learned how to study music. I learned how to learn music. So the genre didn't matter. If someone's like, hey, can you play this kind of music? Yep, I can. You know, and then I would go home and listen to a bunch of albums and be like, all right, so stylistically play this correct. It's these kind of sounds. These are the kind of chords you play. It's kind of like this. And then I'd come back the next day and be like, yep, I got it. What songs are we playing? So that's kind of how it worked. I got a call in 2013. Hey, man, do you play hip hop? Sure, yeah, I play hip hop. Well, yeah, I need a keyboard player for Eminem for the summer. Mm. And, I'd never played hip hop before, but yeah, I went home and learned it, you know? And here we are now. I mean, that was 11 years ago. I'm still working with them, and yeah. So there was that pop music. It was the same kind of a thing, man. So that's how I wound up in the different genres of music, just by necessity. If like someone's like, hey, can you play? I went and learned it, and the next day, yeah, I can play that.
Mm. Yeah. Wow, man, that's a crazy evolution though, from finishing fifth way back in the day.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. You know, I think sometimes giving everybody the what do you call it, the participation ribbon. Mm. I don't know if that's the best. You know, seeing my name in last place, man, it changed me. It really did. Especially because I was older than the kids that placed higher than me. Mm. But man, I should probably like kind of get it together. And to be fair, jazz wasn't my thing, but I was like, man, but if it's music, I can do this. You know, like I can learn it if nothing else. Like, because at the time I was like, I just play gospel music. I want to be good at playing gospel music. But if I'm going to try to do something, like if I'm going to try to do jazz, then I should be good at that too. I should be coming in last place. So I went to school for jazz. Mm. And then, I mean, I think now if I were to try something like that, I would probably come in like fourth place, maybe not last place. Like maybe fourth. If I get fourth place, I'd be cool with that. I just don't want to be last. That's all. You know, I don't have to be first, but I don't want to be last.
Yeah.
But I think going to college, really, I think the biggest thing I got there was how to learn. So I can learn like classical music if I had to. I can, whatever I need to learn, I can learn it. And I've learned how to study music. So that's kind of, I think that was the, how I was able to go into so many different genres of music.
Mm, man, yeah, and by way of you learning, you know, music and learning how to play and studying, you've been able to tour with Grammy Award winning Babyface,
yeah, man.
Alicia Keys,
yep,
Eminem,
yep.
Rihanna,
yeah,
Vivian Green.
Oh, I like the Vivian Green.
Chrisette Michelle.
Yeah, I like Chrisette.
And you were also on the Platinum Record Replay with Zendaya.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
man.
Erskine, what does touring life look like, man? Talk about it.
Touring life, man, let's see. So it's different now. First of all, everything's different now post-COVID, but it's different now for me. Now that I'm a husband and a father, so like now it's, I don't like touring, if you will. I like doing shows and spot dates, but an actual tour, man, I would turn it down if somebody called and say, hey, can you do a full-on tour? Because it's too much time away. My kids are small, so. But back in the past, man, it was great. I loved touring. I loved it, man. I never had to be home. I remember one time I left, when I moved to New York first, came back to Dallas, and I was like, no, I want to try the LA thing. You can do that when you're single, man. I was just like, all right, pick up and go. Picked up all my stuff, went to LA, Man, I was gone. One time I was gone so long, I didn't remember where my car was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought, I was like, did I leave it at the airport? Am I parked at the little, you know, the shuttle thing that takes me to the, am I parked in my apartment? Did I Uber? I was gone for like 2 months, 3 months. I don't know. You know, I, thankfully, I think it was at my apartment because that would have been a crazy bill. But yeah, man, like after a while, it's kind of like, why am I in Los Angeles paying for an apartment if I'm never here? And that was kind of the things which led me back to, I think it was in Los Angeles the first time I moved out there. I was there for 6 months, 5 months, something like that. But I was never there. So I'm like, it's a waste of money. Then I moved back to Dallas and bought a house instead. And yeah. But yeah, man, touring life is cool. It's a bunch of learning music. And once you're actually on tour, though, it's the same show every day. So it's not so bad. Then it's just finding things to do. One of the coolest things about being on tour, though, is this: it is the same show every day. So that is the cool part about it. Out of a 24-hour day, we're on stage for 90 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So the other 22 and a half hours of the day are being cool and being social and going and finding stuff to do in different cities. And after a while, that gets old too. But like being, you know, still being a team player, that's where a lot of people actually lose on tour. Is they, everyone can play, but people lose with the other 22 hours of the day. You know, like what do you do? You know, just going out, getting into stuff. You know, it's I enjoyed touring, but yeah, man, I don't know. It's not something I gotta keep doing. You know, like it's not something I gotta keep doing. That's the 22 hours a day. That was the part of it. I'm like, man, I'd love to be able to play like now as a married man and a father. I'd love to be able to play the show, go home, meet y'all in the next city, play a show, go home. Like, you know, spend the nights at home. But that's just not how it works. So yeah, I kind of shy away from touring now if I can.
Fair enough.
It was cool though. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, excellent, man. Excellent. We'll be right back with more Speaker Success and more Erston Hawkins. Do you want to feel confident in your skin every day? Introducing Skin Rituals, a luxury home-based skin studio that specializes in hyperpigmentation, acne, and personalized treatments for every skin type. Owned by solo esthetician and registered nurse, Courtney Durham, Skin Rituals is all about curating facial treatments designed just for you. Hydrate, brighten, nourish, and soothe your skin with expert care and cutting-edge techniques that promote natural healing. Whether you're looking for a relaxing facial or a transformative chemical peel, Skin Rituals offers results-driven treatment tailored to your needs. With over 7 years of experience, Courtney's goal is to help you safely achieve the healthy skin that you deserve. At Skin Rituals, we believe that taking care of your skin is an investment in your confidence. Book your appointment today and leave every session feeling grateful for the choice that you made to take care of yourself. Skin Rituals, because your skin deserves the very best. And we're back to Speaker Success. I'm Jonathan Jones. And if you have not hit that subscribe button, go ahead and hit it right now. Right now, I'm serious. Okay, so look, we're gonna talk a little bit more with Erskine about this tour life, because I wanna know more. I'm curious personally, Erskine. I'm curious. So like, what are some funny moments like that you've seen on tour? Equipment malfunction, food, the travel situation. I wanna know, Erskine.
Let me think. Funny moments, man. Hold on. Let me. I don't know if I can think of funny moments. Now, there's been a lot of equipment malfunctions. That happens a lot. I think one time. I normally play four keyboards when I'm on tour. It depends on the artist. Like one, two, and then two on the side. One time, man, my keyboards, and I was on a riser. I think I was on like a 5 foot riser or something like that up in the air. And man, I felt it was wobbly during sound check. Like my keyboards, like they're kind of moving, man. Like I don't know if the stand is working. And I was like, no, it's good. It's fine. The keyboard tech who set it up. It's fine. It's fine. That's just how this. I was like, I don't think so, man. I've been doing this for a while. I don't think so. I was like, that's fine. I'll trust you. Man, mid-show, that keyboard, I played some notes. That stand like went backwards. Both keyboards went over the back of the stage. They unplugged, which like, and there was a huge pop because they're plugging the sound. It was a big old thing, man. So I'm just kind of standing there with no keyboards in front of me. I had two keyboards on the side, but like, they weren't set to play. I mean, looking back at it now, it's funny, but man, it was like, ooh. And it wasn't my stuff. I mean, they just kind of shattered into pieces. It was bad, man. It was bad. Thank God nobody was under there. But so that wasn't a funny moment, but that was, you know.
Yeah.
Let me see. Food-wise, traveling with Tamala Mann, Tamala and David Mann, they love food. I mean, they love to make sure the band is well fed, and they know where the good. They've been doing this for a long time. They know where the food is, and anytime we go to a city, they're like, "Okay, all right, this is where we're going to eat. You guys all need to come with us. We're all going here because this is the best place in town." So, Memphis. I wish I could remember the name of the barbecue place. But yes, we did have the best. I'm gonna have to find it, and I'm gonna hit you. I'll tell you what it is. But apparently, like, it's the best barbecue place in Memphis, and the line was, like, outside at the time, and it was, like, a whole place. We didn't wait outside. Of course, we were able to go right on in, but it was cool, man. So, let me think. Other funny moments. This isn't a funny thing. When I travel internationally, I don't eat internationally. I don't, man. I can't do it. I think I've eaten at McDonald's in almost, like, every country I've ever been to.
Okay.
That's my go-to place, man. I know it's not great. I will say this, though. It tastes better in other parts of the world. They actually use real food, so it does taste better. But, man, I don't trust it. I got sick one time in South America, in Brazil, eating, like, trying to eat the food around
me. And live with the people.
Yeah, man. No, I'm not doing that no more, man. I got sick in Puerto Rico, too, trying to do that, man. I found some hole-in-the-wall place. I was like, I want to eat here. I want to taste this. And man, I was sick for like 4 days. So now, McDonald's is pretty standard, man. It's everywhere. That's where I go. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If I don't trust the place, I'm not doing it anymore. So yeah. So anyway,
okay.
That's just me. You know? Oh, you're missing out on so much great food. That's okay.
Okay.
The goal is to make it home.
I get it.
That's the goal. The goal is to live, man. So I'm I'll make it to the house anyway.
For sure. So you're on these tours. Everybody's a professional in their respective area.
Yeah.
Right. How often do y'all rehearse? Do y'all rehearse? Like, what does that look like?
Depends on the artist. With Brian McKnight, I was in the band for about two and a half or 3 years. Never rehearsed. We would rehearse at soundcheck. So I guess that counts as a rehearsal. And he would come in and like, hey, I was thinking we could try this and whatever. But we never officially sat down and rehearsed. With Baby Face, we rehearse, normally it's once a year in January. We'll get together for a week and we rehearse, and that's what we do for the year. With Chrisette Michelle, I think I was with her for 8 or 9 years. We rehearsed once, maybe twice, something like that. And some of these artists, they like to rehearse, and others, we just kind of go out there and make it do what it do. But we never really rehearse while we're on tour. We don't really sit down and rehearse or change anything. It kind of is locked in. But it really just depends on the artist. Zendaya, we rehearsed. Leon Bridges, we rehearsed. Eminem rehearses quite a bit. But that's really about it. With Babyface also, we do technically. Every sound check, we build in an additional 2.5 hours to in case he's, because he's also a creative. He might want to change something. So we rehearse in that way. Like, you know, so we've got a built in 2.5 hours for every sound check in case he wants to change something or we want to, rehearse something or whatever. That's like kind of how we get the rehearsals in that way. But that's about it. I think I fly out today. We've got a show tomorrow. And he sent me some stuff last night. He's like, I want to try this tomorrow. Yes, sir. That's what we'll do. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna try this tomorrow. So we'll be rehearsing tomorrow. We got like he sent me like 3 or 4 songs that we're gonna try, and we might not do them. Sometimes you just want to try them and see if he likes them.
So out of all the places that you've toured and all the artists that you've worked with, what's been your favorite tour and what's been your favorite place that you've played in?
Favorite place. All right. Let me see if I can think of my favorite tour. You know, I really enjoyed working with Zendaya. And this was like before she started doing like movies. She was doing Disney stuff. But I just enjoyed it, man. We went to some place in Connecticut or something like that. It was kind of like a main event, but it wasn't main event. It was huge. Whatever the place was massive. They had like indoor go-karts and like a whole, there was like this candy store in there, and they told us all, hey, you guys go in there, and they gave us like these big old grocery bags.
Just
fill it up with whatever. But I mean, I felt like a kid on the Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, man. I've never seen anything like that. And I was 10 years older than everybody else in the band, so I was brought in to be the music director to kind of keep everybody together. But man, that was probably my coolest experience. But that's not what you asked me. You asked me about touring. My favorite tour, I think it would be with her, man. I think so. Like, we just had a good time. And my favorite place that I've been to play music, I've enjoyed Paris. I mean, I like it there. I don't know if that, hold on, let me think. I'm trying to think if there's anywhere else. Vancouver is very nice.
Really?
And I've been a few times now, and that's one of the places I want to take my wife to Vancouver. She hasn't been yet, but I remember every time I go, I say, man, I want to bring my wife here. Like, it's really nice. There's a lot of mountains. It doesn't look like here at all, man. It's very cool. So I think it's cool. Yeah, Vancouver, I would say that. Yeah.
Okay, noted.
Yeah, it's cool. Noted. Have you been out there before?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's nice, man. Mm-hmm. Y'all should go. It's very cool.
Okay.
Yep. Paris was cool too, man, but it's kind of like New York. It's a beautiful, dirty city, man. It's a beautiful, it's just dirty, man. It's a dirty place.
I have my feeling about New York, but I'll save that for off camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll save that for off camera.
There you go. I love the people there. Love the people in New York. That city's filthy, man. It's a filthy city, man. A friend of mine told me that I dropped my water jug or something, and I was carrying it, and it landed like on the, he's like, nope, throw it away. I was like, nah, man, no, like, it's fine. Throw it away. It touched the ground. I was like, really?
Oh,
he
wow.
said, it's filthy out here. You don't want nothing that's touched.
Oh, my
touch
goodness.
The ground.
But people in New York love New York.
Yep, yep.
It's amazing.
Yep. Amazing, filthy, yeah. I love it. I love it too, man. We travel with Lysol when we go with the kids, man. We spray the bottom of our shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
Stroller. Oh, yeah, man. This place is disgusting.
Oh,
but beautiful, though. Very nice.
Fair enough. We'll leave New York alone for now.
Yeah,
we'll leave New York.
Yeah,
so every artist has their preference,
sure.
Right? Recording live, mm-hmm. recording in the studio. Which do you prefer and why? You like the live performance or you like the in the studio?
I like live performances. They're just better, man. That's kind of where I think sometimes I think too much, like in the studio. I know right now I'm working on a project, and I was working on it before I came up here. And it's 6 songs, but I've now recorded each one. I've got 5 takes of each one. And I think when I get home, I'm going to do a couple of more, and I'll like splice together what I want. But man, I'm just like, it just doesn't feel right to me yet, man. And that's why live, it's a one and done. Whatever it was is what it is.
Yeah.
But like when it's studio stuff that I'm working on, like at the house in the comfort of my own home, I can just listen back to, oh, I don't like that. Let me do it again. Oh, I don't like that. And I'm never going to like it. I don't know, man. But yeah, I'm at 5 takes for each song. And they're long songs too, man. So anyway, it's all good. But so I think in that aspect, I like recording live so it can just be done. And I think sometimes I'm just overthinking it. Kirk Franklin actually told me when I was doing something with him, he's like, man, I finished recording, so we recorded a studio, and I finished my take. He's like, that's it. It's perfect. I was like, well, I don't know. He's like, it's done. I was like, really? He's like, just like that. Man, and the album came out. It's just like that on the album. Left it just the way it was with the imperfections in it. Because it's natural.
Mm.
Like, it's not natural to be perfect. So sometimes me trying to over-perfect things is not a natural thing. Which is why I love, a lot of people, I think, they love Kirk's music because it's not perfect all the time, which is great.
Mm.
And I also thought that, too, about Alicia Keys, and because I used to wonder, like back when auto-tune first came out, like, man, like everyone's auto-tuning their stuff. Alicia Keys doesn't auto-tune her stuff. It's not natural, man. I never thought about it. I was like, why isn't she doing it? Everyone should do it. This is what I actually sound like. This is what I actually did. This was the actual take. This is what it actually is. You know, so if we're talking about an artist and their artistry, if I'm doctoring it up, that's not me. And I can't recreate that live either because it's not, you know, sound what it actually sound like. Anyways, that was a long, long conversation to what you asked, but I prefer live.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, lucky for us, we're gonna get ready to transition.
Oh boy.
And we're gonna have Erskine play live here in the studio.
Live in the studio. Okay.
So don't you go anywhere. Don't you go anywhere. Come right back because we're gonna introduce a special segment that we call Erskine Essentials. Okay. See you in a minute. Are you a new or budding entrepreneur looking to set your business up for success? Profit Mode is here to help you navigate your entrepreneurial journey with expert education and services. From tax planning and bookkeeping to selecting the right business structure, Profit Mode has you covered. They'll even educate you on how to properly set up your business for building credit so you can grow with confidence. Profit Mode's mission is to provide you with the tools and guidance you need to establish a solid foundation for your business. Whether you're just getting started or you're ready to take the next step, we're here to support your goals. Let Profit Mode help you turn that entrepreneurial dream into a reality with the knowledge and services to back it up. Your success starts with the right foundation. Contact Profit Mode today to get started. Welcome back to Speak Your Success. And once again, if you have not hit that subscribe button, make sure you subscribe.
Now is the time.
Okay, we're now going to enter into our Erskine Essentials segment. And this is a special segment because we have a professional keyboardist here with us, Erskine Hawkins, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Erskine Hawkins.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So now what we're going to do is I'm going to read off some questions for Erskine. And then as I read off the question, then he is going to play that tune.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Really? Yeah. All right. We'll see. Yeah. Let's see.
Okay. So here we go. Erskine, are you ready?
I'm ready. I think so.
Okay. Here we go. What was the first song you learned to play?
Oh, yeah. This is the one I was telling you guys about earlier. This is the one, though. He said, just play that one. That's the one he go over to me play. But it's called Ancient of Days. Did this thing every week. That's the song. That's how I learned how to play it. That's the song, Ancient Days. That was it. But yeah, it goes on for a while. That was the song. Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
Man, I feel like most churches used to do it. We haven't done it in a while, but everybody was doing the song for a minute. It was a big song. Yeah.
Okay. Next question. All right. What song, when you play it, it makes you happy?
Let's see. A happy song. Ah, man, you know, just because I grew up in church, I like...
I was just being serenaded. Okay. I was getting taken out of there.
Yeah, it is well with my soul, man. That song is just, yeah, I'm cool with that one, man. That song makes me happy.
Fair enough, man. Yep. Fair enough. What's your favorite gospel song to play?
Ooh.
I know you got a lot to pull through.
What are we doing? Let's see. You know what song I do like? And we've been doing it in our church. Hold on. What's the song called? Greatest Man I Know. If we're talking about a gospel song, that's a cool song. Mm-hmm. We don't do it enough, but I'm just kind of like, it's in the gospel music category. I don't consider it like traditional gospel music, but that's a good song. Yeah, I can. It's a cool song, man. If y'all know that, was a good one. Is it Vashawn Mitchell? I'm not sure who does it. Jesus is the Greatest Man I Know. That's the song. That's good.
I'm going to throw a slight curveball.
Okay.
Slight curveball. Uh-oh. What's your wife's favorite song that she loves to hear you play?
Ooh. Let me see. We do... hold on. What's the song? Hold on. Let me see if I can remember it. Hold on. It was from... you know what? It was from Sesame Street, man.
Really?
Actually, yeah. Hold on. Somebody come and play today. Somebody come and be my friend. Somebody come and play today. we used to watch, my oldest, EJ, he's six, he watched Sesame Street 24/7, man. Wow. So we learned all the Sesame Street songs. And that was our song together, man. Mm. Yeah, when I would go and travel, she would call, "Somebody come and play," because she was at home with the baby. But anyway, there was another one too, but it's from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It was something about beautiful. I like the way you look. It's you. It's you. I like. It's not the things you do. It's not the. The way you look right now. Oh, am I singing? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm just singing. People listen to me sing. No, I'm not a singer. I'm not a singer, so I'll preface it with that. I am not a singer. But anyways, the way you look right now, the way that deep inside you, the other moment I was a toy, they're all beside you. It's you I like. It's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you I like. That's the song. Anyway, one of those two songs, I'm pretty sure.
I love it, man, because I even saw, I think, I'm not sure how long ago it was when you posted it, when you took your wife with you.
Oh, yeah.
And then she got to meet Alicia Keys.
Oh, yeah. We do take your wife to work. It used to be like once or twice a year, but man, it's been a lot lately because she wants to go. And so I leave tonight. She flies out tomorrow. So she'll be meeting me in Sacramento. And then we fly to Vegas together. And then she'll come back and then I'll stay. But yeah, man, she likes to go. So let's go.
That's awesome. Come on.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Come on. Yeah. All right. Well, let's transition into jazz. Okay. What's your favorite jazz song to play?
Let's see. This was called A Child Is Born. I forgot who wrote this one. It's a waltz. It's in 3/4, and she's got a really cool, like that's kind of like the feel. I don't know. I like it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it too.
Yeah,
you introduced me to all these songs.
Yeah, man. That was called A Child Is Born. It's very cool. Very cool too.
Okay. I like it too. I like it too now.
Yeah.
Favorite rap song to play?
I don't know that many of them. But so my favorite one to play, let me see. This is Eminem's song called 3 AM. It's actually cool to play. And I don't know why I like it, but I just like it. That's the one. Surprisingly enough, man, a lot of people are like, hip hop is so easy to play, and it can be, but I think the tough part about it is the fact that, like, for the most part, the music doesn't change. Like, it kind of stays in the same thing, and that's where a lot of people lose playing hip hop, man. I can't sit and just play for 5 minutes or 30 minutes in rehearsal or 40 minutes, but that's the job, and that's kind of what separates sometimes professionals from people like, I want to do it, but like it's just the whole time. So sounding like a record, like a sample, you know, like the recording would sound, it's just the same thing over and over. And we add a little bit of stuff here and there, but yeah, I like that one. 3 AM, Eminem, I think, I think that would be the one. Because I don't know a whole bunch of rap songs in the first place. I think it's the only rap artist I work with. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, okay. And this is our last one. This is our last one. What's an easy song for someone to learn to play? Starting out, what's an easy song?
This one is in C. It's all white keys, so that should make it easier. What song do you hear me playing? What song
Twinkle,
is that?
Twinkle, Twinkle.
See, that's what
Middle
you hear?
Star.
That's what you hear? All right, okay, all right. I was playing ABC, but that's okay.
Really? Yeah, no,
it's
wow.
All, it's all the same song. I was curious what you heard it as. It's all the same. But that's an easy one to play. So most people know this. How about this? Do, re, oh my gosh. Do, re, mi, fa, sol. So everyone knows that part, right? All right, so playing any song is really a matter of being able to hear it in your head. And if you can do do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, you should be able to sit down at a piano. We're going to start here. This is called C. And you should be able to like sit down and kind of pick it out. Is that right? Is that right?
It sounds like it's off a little bit.
What about this one? Is that right?
No, see? That's not it.
So I don't know what the right one is, but I can use my ear and pick out any song, you know, any song you want. But that's if to someone just starting out and you don't play at all or whatever, I would suggest using your ear to pick out whatever song you want to play, and you should be able to find your way through it because you know what's not right. You know, if like no, that's not it, then just find the right one because it's on here somewhere. There's not 88 keys on this keyboard, but there's 88 keys. The right one that you want is on here somewhere. Just gotta find it. Anyway, yeah.
Man,
ABC or Twinkle Twinkle, you said that's okay. The one. That's a good song to start off with if you're just learning how to play.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. And if you're just learning how to play, or if you're just learning how to listen, don't go anywhere because we're gonna be right back with more Erskine Hawkins. He's gonna give us some tips for the aspiring musician out there.
Yep.
We'll see you in a minute. Looking for an exciting workout that's not only fun but makes you feel alive? It's time to step up your fitness. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece. That's your answer. This isn't your typical workout. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece is an energizing step workout that combines simple moves with fresh beats, both old and new, creating an atmosphere that makes fitness exciting. With a focus on all elements of fitness, cardio, muscular conditioning, flexibility, and balance, you're guaranteed to burn calories and get addicted to the energy. Extreme becomes your safe space, which is a welcome environment where everyone is accepted. It's where you can let go of those worries of the world and focus on getting healthy. Ready to get energized? Join Extreme Hip Hop with Treece today. Welcome back, Erskine. Thank you for being here, man.
It's been an honor. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, man. Before we let you get out of here, man, I got a couple more questions for the, you know, the aspiring musician, and we'll get into that. But is there a particular style of music that you haven't yet explored, but that you know, you want to try on the keyboard?
So, man, back in college, I took a like a orchestra arranging class, because I was a senior, I'm like, oh, music is music, I can do this, man. I'm a senior, I'm gonna jump in a senior level class for something they've been studying now for 4 years. Man, I failed. I got an F. That was like my first F in college, man. It was tough. Wow. And I haven't really gone back to orchestration. It would be done from the keyboard, not necessarily playing keyboard necessarily, but like just writing for the full orchestra. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I want to do next. I was working on my my Christmas project, and I've like started orchestrating it. And one of these days I'm gonna do it. I've actually been working on this project now for like 6 years. One day I'm gonna finish it though. One day I'm gonna finish it. But I think I'd like to get into orchestration and trailer music, which is its own genre of music as well. Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Music for movie trailers. It's like a whole thing. Who knew, right? Wow. Like it's a whole. Man, there's so many different sides of music and stuff. Like, I want to do that. The same was that I didn't want to be fifth place in like a jazz comp, you know, jazz piano. Now I'm like, man, I want to do that and I can do it. I just need to sit down and actually do it. So I just started studying like a month or two ago. I'm studying trailer music composition, orchestral composition. So that's next. That's where I'm heading next.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We got some insider information.
We'll see, man.
Got some insider information.
Yep.
So now, for the aspiring keyboardist or musician out there that's trying to figure out how to make their mark in this industry, what advice would you give to them?
Aspiring musician making their mark in this industry. Let's see. It depends on what we're trying to do. So, let me see. First, if we got the aspiring musician who's trying to become a better musician, we'll start there. Becoming a better musician, we got to practice every day. The same with anything else. We got to play every day. We need to make sure we can play keyboard, or we're just talking about like all instruments.
We'll just go keyboard. We'll go keyboard.
We got to make sure we're able to play in all of our keys. We need to make sure our dexterity, we're able to play our scales forward and backward. I think in college it was 4 octaves up, 4 octaves down. So that's going to make us better musicians, using both hands together, like the kind of stuff. So that's for the aspiring musician who wants to be, you know, better at playing. For the aspiring touring musician, it would be a matter of having good ears. Oh, and then this goes for everybody. Having good ears, being able to hear stuff one or two times and at least sit down and play it back, like we were talking about with Twinkle Twinkle. I should be able to listen to that and know, like, even if it's a brand new song that I've never heard, I'm listening the first time someone plays it. Okay, well, it's that and it's that, and okay, I can do it like that. So this goes for everybody, and that's a skill that you have to work on. So for the aspiring musician, that's something you want to start working on pretty early. For the touring musician, if that's something you aspire to do, you definitely want to learn how to learn music quickly, how to listen quickly, how to learn it accurately. You want to make sure you're in an environment where touring musicians are. Like, that's part of the reason why I went to New York. Dallas wasn't really known for musicians that tour at the time, in 2010, I think that was, 2011. So I was like, well, let me get out of here and go to a place where tour musicians are, because artists are looking for musicians in certain cities sometimes, especially in a post-COVID world. They're not always going to fly people, like new people, from a place they don't know. So being in a good location, you know, to be able to do that is, that's one thing. But also being seen, going to jam sessions, meeting new people, being personable, staying in contact with people, not blowing them up all the time, but like just staying in contact, you know, just, what did they say? Half of the battle is who you know.
Oh yeah.
And that is half the battle sometimes. So going out and being known, and that's really it. And then when you finally get a phone call to like go and do something, show up on time, know your music, and I think that's really it. Show up on time and know your music. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. And be personable. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. That's dress the part. Mm. I think that's it. Yeah, if you get one shot to make a first good one, I think it takes 10 times to fix a bad first impression.
Oh, or something. Wow.
It might be more than that. I think it's 10 interactions before someone's opinion of you might start to change. But you only get that one shot to make a good first impression. So you definitely want to make sure you make a good first impression by knowing your music, showing up on time, looking the part. And I think that's the advice for the aspiring touring musician and the aspiring musician.
Yeah, there we go. Well, Erskine, please let the successors know where they can find you, follow you, and connect with you.
Let's see. I think Instagram is the best place. It's at Erskine, E-R-S-K-I-N-E, Hawkins, H-A-W-K-I-N-S, 3. And yeah, really, I'm just kind of on Instagram these days. I haven't gotten a TikTok. You on TikTok?
I have a TikTok. I'm not on it as much as one should say.
Yeah, man. Say, I just, you know, I need to get on there, man. But I'm just like, you know, I just haven't done it yet. But one day, I'm going to get on there. I'm going to get on the TikTok. I'm not even on Facebook like that. But Instagram, I'm on there.
Okay. So follow him on Instagram, Follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, man.
Erskine.
My brother.
Man.
Appreciate you, man.
Man, it's been an honor,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. It has.
It's been an honor.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, successors out there, just like I've been telling y'all before, subscribe, okay? Subscribe to the channel so you'll be the first to know as soon as we release any interviews and exclusive content. But until next time, speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?